I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now in Charlotte, where some sort of weather karma is taking place. Republicans had Isaac. Now Democrats have the storm with no name that is heading this way. And so today they announced that President Obama's acceptance speech on Thursday will be moved from the 74,000-seat Bank of America Stadium to the 19,000-seat Time Warner Cable Arena, where the first day's events have been. It'll be a giant game of musical chairs. A lot of people will be without one. The DNC said they'd given out over 60,000 tickets, although there were reports that they were having trouble filling the stadium, so this could be a blessing in disguise for them. Anyway, the other news today, as USA Today reports, is that the Democrats came roaring back at the DNC last night with impassioned speeches, including one from the headliner, First Lady Michelle Obama.
Barack knows the American dream because he's lived it, and he wants everyone in this country, everyone, to have the same opportunity, no matter who we are or where we're from or what we look like or who we love.
Wow, it's awesome. She hit it out of the park. She said everything that we're all about.
What stood out to me is just her honesty, her great sincerity of her speech.
Excited, that's how I feel. I think she set the tone for the convention.
Peter Walston of the Washington Post is going to be on Radio Row at the Time Warner Cable Arena with us today. And Peter, I know a little later we're going to look forward. But first, back to last night. You know, the Democrats did not hedge on dishing out their core values. Say that again?
They talked about abortion. They talked about gay marriage. They talked about a lot of things that appeal to the base. Okay. And that's what a big part of this convention is all about, is firing up the base. They've been very concerned for a long time that liberals were not going to be enthusiastic enough. They really wanted to put on a show here that would fire people up.
Boy, did they ever. Pro-immigration, pro-fair wages, decidedly against Swiss bank accounts. but I'm hearing analysts say maybe too forceful and too diverse for the other voters, independents.
It's possible. I think that this campaign has definitely done their share of polling and focus grouping. They know what they need to do more than we do on the outside, I think. And there's a sense that I've heard that even though there may be a small segment of undecided or independent voters, you know, polling tends to show that even independents have an ideology that might generally point them in one direction or the other. So that maybe if an independent is going to be offended by some of the things that were said here, those are probably people that the campaign feels wouldn't be voting for them anyway.
Well, just to touch again on Michelle Obama's speech, by the way, she's speaking again in the arena that we just came from. She's got a huge ballroom that she's filled. Hundreds of people were waiting to go in and see her again today. Glenn Thrush of Politico tweeted during her speech last night that he saw something he didn't see in Tampa, which is the wait staff in the arena, the people working there applauding a convention speaker. He said he'd never seen that. This is obviously part of an historic moment that began 4 years ago. But the First Lady seemed to feel the need to give the biography of the president again. Your thoughts on that?
Well, she does it so well, and she has very high ratings. The public likes her. Which, if you recall back to the early stages of the 2008 campaign, she was actually quite a controversial figure. So she's come a long way in the public's mind, and she has a lot of credibility. So it helps to have her do that. And if she can stir the crowd, it's all the better.
And maybe overcome the huge bullhorn on the right that's maybe made people forget that story. But the speakers, we want to listen to them. They went at Mitt Romney. There was Lilly Ledbetter. She's the women's equality leader and namesake of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. She hit on the theme that Mitt Romney doesn't understand working women.
Maybe 23 cents doesn't sound like a lot to someone with a Swiss bank account, a Cayman Island investments, and IRA worth tens of millions of dollars. But Governor Romney, when we lose 23 cents every hour, every day, every paycheck, every job, over the entire lives, we lose, just cannot be measured in dollars.
So Peter Walston, there was that. And then, you know, everyone knows the party supports a woman's right to choose, but it was mentioned throughout the night, including when the head of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, came out and spoke in prime time. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that is striking because NARAL is an interest group within the Democratic Party, a very important one, but also a very polarizing one as far as the right goes.
You said it would be the equivalent of having what?
The National Rifle Association speak at a Republican convention. I mean, it's an important group like that, but also a group that is seen by the other side as an enemy.
And so, again, too much lightning rod?
I think that they're certainly perhaps rolling the dice a little bit, but women are a huge focus, specifically pro-choice women, young women. They have decided that getting those people excited and enthused is more important than any risk or downside of alienating some people who probably wouldn't vote for them anyway.
Peter Walston, who covers the White House for The Washington Post and is with us on Radio Row here in Charlotte today. And Peter, you're going to stay right there. Come back later in the program with more analysis of last night and a look ahead. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now at the DNC in Charlotte, North Carolina. Former President Bill Clinton addressing the convention tonight and formally introducing President Obama's name for nomination, the first former president to ever do that. Also tonight, retiring Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank will speak. What might he say, given that this might be his last big speech at a convention? Tomorrow night, Wisconsin Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, who's running for Senate, will be a featured speaker. Of course, both Frank and Baldwin openly gay. Gay rights, a big topic last night. Gay marriage, part of the party plank. God is not. We've been speaking with Peter Walston of The Washington Post. Peter, just touch on that for a second. As we said, gay marriage, a part of the plank, and we heard last night about President Obama ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But the word God is not in the plank, in the platform, I think, for the first time. Is that a big deal? Because Vice President Paul Ryan is sure trying to make it one.
Well, I guess he's not vice president yet.
Vice presidential candidate. Thank you.
If the Democrats keep taking God out of things, perhaps he has a better chance. I don't know.
Do they?
I think it seems there's a little bit of a mystery right now about what happened in the platform committee. I mean, there seem to be a few kind of self-inflicted unnecessary wounds for the Democrats. They removed God. They also took out some language on the Middle East they removed the mention of Jerusalem, their support for Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. And it's the kind of thing that, those are controversial issues, but you have to kind of ask why on in a platform that really doesn't matter that much other than symbolically, why you would kind of open yourself up to that.
Right. And delegates last night went out of their way to say, oh, God's all over here. You know, we keep mentioning him and we bless him and he's blessed us. And so they don't feel that he's out of their party at all. Well, just look forward to Bill Clinton's speech tonight. And the interesting comparison it sets up. Here you have Barack Obama saying he's not going to uphold the Defense of Marriage Act and getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, two things that Bill Clinton signed into law. They're a real contrast.
Yeah, it shows how far the party has come and how far the country has come, really, on that issue. And polls show it, that there's just been a huge increase in support for gay rights and for gay marriage, including among independents and certainly among Democrats. But even more importantly, I mean, you've talked on your show in the last few days about the Democrats' money problems. When the president made his announcement in May that he had changed his mind again and now once again supported gay marriage, a lot of gay donors, and there's a huge proportion of his bundlers and his supporters are financial supporters are gay, they gave a lot more money to the campaign and, importantly, to the super PAC supporting him.
Yeah, but not enough. We talked yesterday here about how the Democrats are really scrambling to make up for low revenue. They had also said originally they didn't want corporations to make donations. Maybe that's changing now because they really don't have money. And you broke a little bit of news today. There's a new fundraiser in town.
There is. His name is Rahm Emanuel. He has actually quit his position with the campaign, with the Obama campaign, as honorary co-chairman. And he is now helping out the super PAC, supporting the president. So there can't be, officially, legally can't be coordination, so he had to give up his job. And I talked to him this morning, and he said that he just felt this is the best thing he can do to help the president. And there's a widespread view among donors here. People on TV will see a lot of excitement and a lot of positive energy in the hall. But on the sidelines here, if you talk to money people and they're honest with you, they'll tell you that they are they're really worried because the Romney campaign, the RNC, and the pro-Romney super PAC, they're outmaneuvering and outraising the Democrats by a huge proportion. The Romney campaign has just announced that in the month of August, the campaign and the RNC raised $100 million. That will be, I think, the fourth straight month probably that they will have outraised the Democrats. And that's not even talking about the advantages in the super PAC world.
I can't be the only person sitting here and watching all the money that's being spent and all the press, and we're included, and thinking, can that money be better served? I mean, people are already talking about cut, you know, shorter conventions, change this all, but maybe too late for that. Peter Walston of the Washington Post, just real briefly, we only got a couple of seconds, but do Democrats have to start talking about how they're going to cut the deficit, save money?
They'll talk about that. I suspect President Clinton might talk about that, but they'll target that message to the people they think need to hear it.
Okay. We'll have more from you over the course of the week, but thanks so much for spending time with us today, Peter Walston of the Washington Post.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Lots more ahead. We're going to fact-check the speakers from last night, but also fact-check President Obama made over 500 promises. How many did he keep? How many was he able to keep? What with the gridlock in Washington? We're going to do that with Politico in just 1 minute, here and now.